All right, we are Sama Chesam Beis. Yeah, the top one. Tani, we learned Kivuim. If you have a knife, say, which has a removable handle, which we learned about yesterday, and the handle is, it has to, it says Tkuim here, but it's a typo. The Gilui Nashah says it should be Kivuim. If the handle has been nailed onto the knife, kavua takua means it's just been pushed on. Kavua means it's been nailed on. So if the handle has been nailed onto the knife, chibur lutuma ula azoya, then they're considered to be connected vis-a-vis tuma. In other words, if one part of the knife becomes tuma, the other part becomes tuma. And the sprinkle part of duma water, if you sprinkle on one part, it's if you sprinkle on the entire thing. Now, the Gilui Nashah also raises the next line till the next period. Anothli vanoitznim. And on chibur, if time out. So it's kivuim, because chibur l'tumah l'azoya. Again, the third line down. Hanoislim vanoislim. Well, what do you know? There is a third. Hanoislim. We're supposed to stay away from windows. That's my wife called me. Mrs. Uger, maybe you want to away from the window. 74 mile an hour winds. A nice city was not meant for human life. Nobody was meant to live in Chicago. There are 8 million insane people living in this neighborhood. A nicely, a nice thing. Yeah, I know. A nicely, a nice thing. If it's not firmly connected together, not nailed together, but rather just the handle is removable, where you can put it on, take it off, put it on, take it off, eno chibur, it's not considered connected, lo l'tuma v'lo l'azoya, not for tuma and not for azoya. It's not connected for any purpose whatsoever, okay? It's not for becoming tamei together and not for sprinkling. V'acha tamar chen. So the question is, if that is the case, why over here did it say, when we learned yesterday, that if you stick a knife onto its handle and you firmly push it together, your tokea, then you're chayav chatos? Shouldn't be true, because unless it's nailed together, it's not considered to be connected, right? We just said it has to be kavua, not just takua. So why is it? What's the difference? So that's what I'll tell you. The time on there, it's talking about a case, in that price which we just quoted, it's talking about a case where darkon likva, the derech is to be kovea, the derech is to be nailed together, lo likva, therefore you didn't nail them together, and on chibur, that's not considered connected. But here, tchiyosan higmar melachon, here, in this case, where we're talking about Shabbos, we're talking about putting the object together vis-a-vis the halachos of Shabbos, so then even just to stick it together, that's considered to be completed in order to be chayiv. So again, the bottom line is this distinction. By Tumah Tahara, if it's something which is made to be, in order to be considered to be connected, the two things have to be connected together by some, you know, adhesive, so to speak, or some nails or something of that sort. Here, by Shabbos, it depends what's considered to be a completed keli. The normal way of usage, even if it's not chibur vis-a-vis tumah and tahara, it still may well be chibur vis-a-vis the halach of Shabbos and make you chayav chatos for having built a keli. Okay? Says the Gemara, Tani, Rav Simoy, Omer, Rav Simoy says, Hamarkiv Karen Agula Chayav. Somebody puts together, this is a type of musical instrument. A round horn, it's like I guess a French horn. It was very complex. And put together your chayv. Karam shuta, if it's a straight horn, meaning it's not a complex instrument, it's a simple one. You put it together, it's not your potter, because it's not considered to be a special, you know, special, how should I say, craft of putting it together.
But you're still building a special.
Right, but the assumption is that the karen agula, like a French horn, it's very difficult, and there's a special, right, so it's a special umnus to put it apart and take it back together again. Whereas opposed to a bugle, exactly. So a bugle is just a simple matter to put it apart and take it together. So therefore, by French horn, one is loath to collapse it once one put it together. And that's what it's considered to be bonnet. Whereas by a bugle, since you they are essentially collapsible, so therefore there's no problem of bonnet. Okay? Muksa? Yeah. Muksa, of course, is regardless. But we're talking all about the achiv of bone here. Okay? Says Gemara, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omer, Kenei Menorah Chayev. If you put together the what are they called?
The
branches. Good word. The branches of menorah are chayiv, right? You put the branches of menorah on, so the menorah is chayiv, right? Because that's considered to be more of an elaborate thing than putting the straight bugle on. Says the Gemara, because you don't. I guess the Gemara explains because you normally that the bugle is collapsible, and that's the derech, whereas the menorah you tend to keep together. So therefore, in that case, there are different cases. Koneshel Tzayodin, it's actually a typo, it should be Tzayodin. The people who plastered the bricks, so they would make successively longer poles in order to reach the plaster up to the levels where they were building. So they would do that by adding on, you know, lengths of pole to the length of the pole, the overall length of the pole. So to do that is considered to be potter. Right, I'm sorry, it's going to be potter, right. So it says more, I don't understand. Why are you chayev when you put together the menorah? Because you're building. If that's the case, in the case of the plaster, why is he exempt? So it says, Gemara, I'll tell you, very interesting distinction. The difference is, as the Pnei Moshe explained, because sometimes you make it higher and sometimes you make it lower. In other words, the Kodeshul Sayodin, you put on various lengths depending on how high you want to build your building. So therefore, it's made to be longer extended or contracted. So therefore, there's no one permanent bonnet, right? Whereas by the case of menorah, the length which you have is always the standard length, and therefore you're not going to change in the middle. Okay, right. Says the Gemara.
That's a weak answer, isn't it?
Why? Anything collapsible can't be bona deraisa. You can ask for it to rabbana, but you can't ask for it to raisa. Right, only deraisa. Right. So says the Gemara. If that's the case, becholos, that's the question. Becholos, if somebody digs into the sand, there it's also up and down. Now this is a very difficult thing. What does it mean? It's up and down in the sand. I don't really have a good shot in it, but the way the Pnei Moshe explains it, it means that by the sands also, you're not necessarily makbid on the height of the sand all around you. So therefore, in other words, it's good. Even if it slips and slides, you don't really care. So therefore, it should be considered to be bona. Why is that considered to be bona? So says the Gemara, batam rechayev, why do you say it's chayev? So I'm Rabbi Shmuel bar Yudan, kan l'shol, kan l'shols. I don't understand exactly what went on here, but I'm sure Yudan says when you have this collapsible plasterer's tube, so that's only temporary. You constantly are putting in segments and taking out segments. Whereas the building in the sand, right? So there once you build it, you intend to leave it permanently that way. So again, my problem here is I don't understand what the milamalo lamaton thing is as it applies to the sand. I understand how it applies to the building and to the plastering tool, because there you add and take off segments. But I don't fully understand how by the building of the sand, the concept lamalo lamata, going up and going down, works.
Well, there may not be. Maybe there is no concept.
But that's what the Yushami asks. No, the Yushami, I would ask the question. Granted, but what was the question? Hey, Sivun, Arei, Achoyfer, Bechoz, Harim, Milamal, Lamatanu.
They thought it was also temporary.
Yeah, so maybe that's the question. They thought it was temporary, and it comes out that it's permanent. Could be. I don't have a don't have a full understanding of it. Okay, Shmuel says, HaMalchim, it should be, as HaTirtzin. This is somebody who, in modern Hebrew, malchim, I believe, means to actually weld. But I don't think that welding back then. So I think that it means here, the way I understand, it means that you are fusing to get, you're connecting sides of like a security gate in front of your store. You're connecting together so it stands strong against any possible intruders, right? So when you put you hinge that, I think the way it is that you have like an interlocking hinge, and you put a stick through in order to hold it in place, or something like that. So anyway, we do the Chaim Shabbona that's building. Now, it was a very basic question on that. But Kasha, if you do this on Shabbos, we just said you're Chayav Chatas, that's bonus. Yet, Beisil Matir Mafla Hachzir, it says that on Yontif, if you need to open your store, Beisil allows you to open your store and put back the security gate even after you, even on Yontif itself. If it's an Issur D'oraisa on Shabbos, how could we possibly be Matir on Yontif? Doesn't seem to be direct Tzorach Ochol Nefesh, so how are we Matir on Yontif? So says the Gemara. I'll tell you. Rabbi Chanani, B'shem Riachon said, "Itiru sovam neitchiloso." They permitted putting the gate back up because they want you to take the gate down to begin with, right? They permitted the last activity because the first activity. Shim Omar Achelo Yachzir. If you're going to tell him not to put it back, Afu Eino Posech, he's not going to open the store. So that's how we let him do it. I lost the kasha below Yiftach. Don't open your store. It's Yontif. Go home, eat, drink, make merry. Why do you have to open your store? Says, well, if you don't open your store, Afu, we might be Simchas Yontif. You diminish other people's Simchas Yontif. Because assuming other people are contingent on you to get their needs. No, no, it's not. Simchas Yontif.
We had another word. I don't remember which one it was.
Well, we haven't really gotten this.
The bottom line issue is that he wouldn't open it to begin with.
Unless he could close it.
Okay.
Says, well, I'm Rabbi Acha. Machzir vach lo yasur kol tzorko. When he puts it back, when he puts back the security gate, he can't put it back in the normal way. He has to do some sort of shinui in order that it shouldn't be true about it. Okay? So you write the word matir outright. I'm Rabbi Yossi Rabu. Kish ein shom Pesach. The only time they're mati to take down the security gate and put it back up is when you don't have another opening to your store. Aviyesh and Pesel, if there's another opening to your store, Mishtamishang and Pesel, then you use the other opposite. Okay, the other opening where you don't have this problem. Period. Getting back to our Mishnah. Mas Nisa Rabbi Shimon. Our Mishnah is going to Rabbi Shimon. The Tani. We learned a gorate, somebody who rubs or scratches literally a surface in order to make it, tailor make it, or a kodeh, somebody who drills, but a kotet, somebody who cuts, koshu b'shabes chayv, no matter how small he's chayv. Reb Shimon Omer, a gorate, or it should be a goreder, a chiyogur kol tzorko, until you finish the service, the entire necessity you have. A kodeh, somebody who drills, until he drills all he needs to have. Hakotzeit, somebody who chops, achiiktzot kol tzorcho. Haoved esor, somebody who tans, achiavi kol tzorcho, until he tans all he needs to tan. Vam Rabbi Yaakov Bracha lo asi ala Rabbi Shimon. This is only going like Rabbi Shimon. What? Yeah, it says Bitzmiya.
And he tells his people, he commands his servants, right, not to feed him and have him drink. Someone came and he gave him food, but you get a drink. But he can't hear it, won't get angry. But if we are called you are called the body, and then it is killing him. If Hashem didn't give it to him, why should you give it to him?
Now, it's interesting, the Pnei Moshe, I think, disagrees with the Korban Edom.
Yeah, I made a mistake. I didn't look at the Pnei Moshe. I didn't look back at the Mishnah to see what the Mishnah actually said. But the Pnei Moshe says, what I really should say back on the fifth line from the bottom of Samach Ches, on basis, Mastisin Delok Rabbi Shimon. Because our Mishnah says that you're chayev on a kol shu. The Mishnah at the beginning of the parak said you're chayev on kol shu. Okay? Said you're chayev on kol shu. Abone kamiv nevi chayev abone kol shu. Besides, it's a makapatish or matzah or kodeh kol shu. So really, says the Bnei Moshe, the Gerser should be over here, masdisin to lo karabi shimon. Okay? Because Rabbi Shimon is the one who says you have to do a full amount of work. You know, whatever is necessary for the object you're working with. So our mission says the kosher is not going like Rabbi Shimon, obviously. Okay. So says more now on the top of Samach Tes, Rabbi Yaakov Bracha lo asya elik Rabbi Shimon. it's only going like Rabbi Shimon. The Rabbanon, Rabbi Shimon lov amitzas melacha kukula. Rabbi Shimon doesn't look at a part of melacha as being the entire of the melacha. Rabbanon avdi mitzas melacha kukula. Yeah, it still doesn't work. So what's Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha saying?
Compassion
for his son. It's a son of the king instead of a servant. Right? Yeah. No, Rabbi Shmuel, Moshe brought that down from Suri Misachim.
I mean,
nobody made photos
also.
I don't know. Problem is when I was praying again, I didn't pay any attention to the names. So let's try this like this. Let's try the Korban Edom. Vam Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha. Stop some of this. Vam Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha said, Lo Asya Elok Rabbi Shimon. The way he says that it's not working. Now let's just change the gear so here. Vam Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha lost your elik rabbanon. Yeah, let's change it to rabbanon. When in doubt, just play with the gear so.
Oh, so you
have
some
back. This is what he thinks. I put in Dalet Ayin, which sounds for Das Atzmi. And then it works. Vam Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha lost your elik rabbanon. Right, so going like only like Rabbana, because the Rabbi Shimon love and mitzvahs melacha kekula. Rabbi Shimon doesn't make a little bit of melacha like an entire melacha, so he wouldn't be mechayev in a mashu. Whereas Rabbana of the mitzvahs melacha kekula, Rabbana say part of melacha is like a full melacha, right? So therefore, it's our mission is going like Rabbana, not like Rabbi Shimon. Truth is that works very well. V'kasha the Rishim Gamliel. Now the Ma'aseh v'kasha Shimon Gamliel. Rishim Gamliel did appear in our Mishnah. Shemuel said at the end of our Mishnah, "If a makav the kuner salasada, somebody hits on the anvil at the end of the melacha, is chayv neshem miskumsakim melacha because he's fixing the melacha." Now, the way we understand the Mishnah is that he's fixing the anvil, fixing the hammer by pounding on them. So now that we're asking Shemuel, you will not aliktzor if you took a scythe in order to harvest. Velokotz Hashem al, he didn't harvest Shem al klumu. So did you do anything? So here too, you might have made preparations to start beating metal or whatever else you're gonna do as a smith, but Lamaisi didn't do anything. So what are you chayv on, right? So I'm Rabbi Ada Isad Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Rabbi Yehuda. He says a very interesting answer, and the Bavli doesn't give this answer. The Bavli says you're taka being misakin the anvil or being misakin the hammer, and that's misakin mona. The Yerushalmi gives a different answer. Rabbi Yada. Rabbi Yada said, "Aser Shimon Gamliel Rabbi Yehuda." Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is going to Rabbi Yehuda. The Tani Ashovit va'metakte mekatkeit al orig. Somebody who smooths the weave. That's Ashovit va'mekatkeit. I assume something similar. Carbonator says it's like also something to do with smoothing the weave. So I raise a chayim nushu kamiyashiv yado. You're chayim because you're training your hand. I mean, the chiyuv here is for you having accomplished not something with the wool, with the weave so much, but accomplishing something in your own personal expertise. Enhancing your expertise in doing a certain craft on Shabbos entails misakin. Why is it misakin? Not because you're misakin the garment or the object, you're being misakin yourself. So to you, when you're hitting with the anvil and with the hammer on the anvil, here too, you're training yourself how to do it properly, and that's a form of the socket.
It's a very interesting smart. It's intangible. It's
right, even though it's an intangible.
As a physical object, right. It's a very good smart.
That's right. Okay, I think Tosfos in the Bavli does bring this down, not the Gemara itself. All right, halacha base, achoresh koshu. If you plow, you're chayev, no matter how small you do it. Hamanakesh, you weed, no matter how small you do it. Hamakaris and Mizari, there's various ways in which you remove pieces of wood, branches of a tree that you don't like. Koshu. Hamlakit Eitzim. if you're collecting wood with sakin for a positive purpose, koshein, then the shear is no matter how small. Imas you're doing in order to cook de lavasho betzakal enough to cook a small egg. Hamlakita sovim, if somebody corrects grass with sakin with a positive intent, koshein, in other words, to the positive intent is to fix up his field, to remove the grass which is cluttering up his field, so you're chayiv. Koshein, no matter how small the shear. Im lebehema, if you're doing it for your animal, kim lo pikdi, then the shear is the shear of the mouth of a how much a goat would eat, not more. You don't need, not less than that, because to eat you need more than a koshu. Ma charisha is a mishkan. What charisha? What plowing did they do in the mishkan? Should koshu mita samoni? If they plow in order to plant the dies. How much do you have to plow in order to be chayiv? Right, Messiah and Mark they lita kirisha enough to plant one cress. Rabbi Bava Shem Rav said lita zachrusa shachita to plant the male end, in other words, the narrow end of a wheat. Tamati, we learned over there. Zorak Yeshuin, we had this in the Yerushalmi around a month ago. Zorak Yeshuin, Shnaim, the shear for pumpkin seed, if you intend to plant it, is two pumpkin seeds. Zered Luim, well, Kishuim is actually gourds. I don't remember which is pumpkin, which is gourds. But Zered Luim, if you plant, let's say this is gourds, Shnaim, the shear is two. What? I know, one is a generic term, one is a more specific term. Tani, we learned chiti madoyos, meaty and wheat, the shear is shtayim, the shear is two. Shmuel Shem Rabbi Zira said, chiti maideshe and chavivos, wheat because it is, the people like wheat, also so kashar ziron agina she'enon echolim. They made it like other types of seeds which are not eaten, meaning even though the shear for edible foods is normally a grogeres, since people like planting this wheat, so therefore they made the shear when you plant it not a grogeres, but rather the shear like any other seed, which is what?
Two seeds.
Okay? That's all you need in order to be chayav. Lamali, says the Gemara. Why do I need to mention that this business about Kamole Pikdi, right? Actually, more precisely, the carbonator puts it, why do I need in the Sefer that it's Lasakin Kol Shehu? We already know from the ratio that it's Lasakin, anything is a Kol Shehu. So why is it mentioned in the Sefer Lasakin Kol Shehu? But that, in other words, if you're going to fix your field by gathering this grass, the shear is even smaller than a grogeres. So it says, well, I'll tell you, Lasakin Kol Shehu is mentioned in Lomali in order to teach us the other halach of Kamole Pigdi. That if it's not Lasakin, the shear is not the shear of a Kol Shehu, then the shear is the full size of a goat's mouth. Okay, halacha gimel. Hakosef Shteyosu, somebody writes two letters. Bambi Mino, Bambi Small, whether it's right hand or with his left hand. Bambi Shemechel, whether they are the same letter. Bambi Shnei Shemos are two different letters. Bambi Shnei Samios, even if they're two symbols. Bechol Losh in any language, Yitzchayev. I'm Rabbi Yossi. When Yitzchayev Shteyosu is the chiv on two letters, is actually not because of writing two letters. El Mishum Roshim, but because of marking. Not because of kosei, but because of marking. Shekachiu rosh min akarshi and mishkan. They used to make marks on the kroshim in the mishkan, on the beams of the mishkan. Leida ezu ben zugo, to know which one was the proper one which corresponded to it on its right and on its left. Amar Rabbi said, "Matzir shein katan mishein gadol." We found the chayv you write a smaller name from a bigger name. What's an example of that? Shem mishima. You stop writing after the shin mem, and you have the name Shem. Instead of writing Shimon, you're chayiv on that. So too, Mishmuel, same idea. If you write Shem as part of Shmuel, or Noach Minachar, you wrote Noach out of the name Nachar, or Don Mi Daniel, or God Mi Gadiel. In all these cases, you're chayiv because you obviously are considerate in this case to have written something which has significance, even though it's only two letters long, and that's chayiv because of Ksiv. Okay, Matana Simonios. It said in the Rashi Mishnah, before we even introduced Rabbi Yossi, that if one writes signs or marks, that's sufficient. Who said that? Rabbi Yossi. Says the words, Rabbi Yossi said that. And the way the the Farshim explained that, it means that the entire Mishnah is going to Rabbi Yossi. But even the statements made before Rabbi Yossi came on the scene were made by Rabbi Yossi. Okay? How do we say that again? Because Roshim is otherwise not Chayev. It would only be Kosev, only writing, not marking. Who's the one who says you're Chayev also on marking? Only Rabbi Yossi. Okay, again, what does it mean you're allowed to write in any, you're not allowed to write in any language? Afil LF Alpha. Even to write instead of, Afil Aleph Alpha. Even to write instead of a tau, instead of an Aleph, you write an Alpha. Instead of a Beis, a Beta. Instead of a Gimel, a Gamma. Right, you're still Chayef. Right, because it's obviously still legible and usable. The Chayesh Loma. Now, says more very few technical questions. Rabbi Yossi's question, Shita, was they didn't have actual letters. All they had was marks. So says more of a Chayesh Loimar, shouldn't be afraid. Shema Yite Milamato Lamalon. If you only had marks, so you won't know which way is up. Right? I know which way is up. That was a very strange question. Why is it a very strange question?
Because they're probably right on the bottom of the pole rather than the top.
Mm. No.
Because if you write some marks, you don't know which one is up or down. If it's not legible.
Much more practical than that. You'll kick yourself.
Probably
won't. Yes, you will. The bottom was split in order to make the Adonim.
Oh.
So you don't have
that was not split, so I know what the Yerushalmi is even asking. So is worthy of a kick? It's getting there, right?
I'm not into masochism.
The truth is, I didn't think of that till right now. When I was preparing it, I didn't realize it. But if the whole Yerushalmi's question doesn't start, because it's the bottom had holes in order, had not holes, had prongs in order to fit into the sockets of the bases, so you know which one was. Nevertheless, Yerushalmi says, Kamin Kamusim Ayosuim. They had one mark, and the one mark was made like an arrow. Kumus means like a quill, like a fancy fountain pen. So in that case, the mark pointed towards whichever direction was supposed to go up. Okay, it said this side up, but without the this side up. But still, aren't you afraid? Maybe you're going to put it inside out, right? How are you putting the right side in? So again, that's a very strange question. So I mean, you could just say whatever side held the markings, right? Mm-hmm. So, but nonetheless, you know, here it does give a practical answer. It says tabos hayumochichos. There were actually rings on the outside of the Mishkan to hold the brichim. To hold the rods which connected the Mishkan together, so therefore they didn't need the mark to tell them anything. Wherever the rings were, that was on the outside, right?
Yeah.
So the question is, but maybe they won't be in exactly the same position. How many beams are there all together? All together. I think there were 30.
Yeah.
I want to say 30. 20, 20, and 10.
Yes.
So maybe how do you know you'll have them always in the exact same order? So here the Mepharshim say, if it would have had Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, it would have known the order.
Right.
But just had markings on them, so how do you know which order to put them in? Right? You won't know. So it says the Gemara, Am Rabbi Yacha Luchson Hayakos of Alein. They were marked on an angle, meaning the way the Mepharshim explained it, if beam number one was marked like this, so beam number two was marked like this, and beam number three was marked like this, and beam number four was marked like this, and so on and so forth. You knew how to put them. Okay, should really make the arrow. But anyway, that was the idea. Okay, so the placement of the angle will tell you how to put them. Says more, who cares? Let's switch the locations. What's the big deal? Rabbi said about Kimosis on Mishkan Kimishpato. Yeah, it says you have to put the Mishkan coin to its judgment. Is there a judgment on wood? What it means, Kimishpato means like its previous rule. And that means that a Keresh, a beam which had the schus linosim mitzvah should always be to be put on the north. Linosim mitzvah should always be in the north. Bedarim on the south, you're not saying Bedarim should be put on in the south, etc. Now, this is an interesting thing, which is that from here we learn the Makor for racing striped tzitzis. You know what racing striped tzitzis are?
Yeah,
that's
the black
thing in front. Yeah, so the reason why that is there is in order to know which side is front, because the cipher says that Keresh Nita on the Tzofon, you only mean Nasi Mitzofon, the one which goes on the north should always go north. It has to do with any Dover Sheba Kedusha. As also, well, anything, any object, so therefore it also has to do with tzitzis.
Right.
That's how they put the racing stripe on one side in order to know which goes front. There are many different ways to
that's
do it.
Right. Get the
that's true. Okay? Granted.
With the two holes.
All right, give me a drink of water. I'm going to get a drink. Say it another further. Now, fascinating Gemara. Okay, a little bit of a gratitude here. Based on the previous Gemara. Isn't the Rabbi Yehoshua, the members of the house of Rabbi Yehoshua, and Uda Bar Pazi, the members of the house of Bar Pazi, have been shalom b'shalomi d'nasi b'cholim. They will go to ask the shalom of the Nasi each and every day. They go to ask, I guess, Rabbi, whoever it was. Hasn't Rabbi Yehoshua, so the people who go to the people from the house of Rabbi Yehoshua would go only in Kadmoi. They would go in first. Okay, they're going for first. The Nafkin Kadmoi come out first. Now, this is the custom. They're going to say more chashiv. Aslin Elan de Bar Pazi. So it happened that the family of Bar Pazi went vischasnus benesiusa, and they married into the Nasi's family. So they became related, right? So Aslin Boyin Mayo come on Kadmoi. So they wanted to go in first. They said, okay, now it's our turn to go in first to give Shalom, right? We should get that tzchus. Ishtalitz Rabbi Ami, so they went to ask Rabbi Ami. Omer Lun Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Ami said, no. Vachimoyses, a Mishkan Kamishboto. So you set up the Mishkan according to its proper law. Sabzi was not Rebbe because Rebbe was earlier than Rabbi Ami. I don't know exactly which Nasi was, one of the later Nasim. So it says, Vachiesh Mishpat Leitzim. Is there a judgment for the trees, for the beams? Ella, Ezu Keresh Zochli Nasim Mitzofon. Whichever beam was on this north, Nasim Mitzofon is always to be placed on the north. Bedarim, those are placed on the south. Nasim Bedarim should be placed on the south. And therefore, since the family of Rabbi Yehoshua always preceded you, the family of Bar Pazi, even though now you married into the Nasi's family, they still precede you in the ritual of going in and giving shalom to the Nasi first. However, there was a maisa that the Bultaya, what it means is the nobleman, Upagnaya. Now, Pagnaya, Lieberman brings down a girsa Pagmaya. Pagmaya means people who had a pagam mishpocha. In other words, not only were they not noble aristocrats, they were, you know, had mamzerus or something of that in their family. Okay, so they also come to ask, inquires the health of the nasi b'cholyo every day. Bavu butaya buvutu buvutay whatever the nobleman only kadmoi would go in first, and nafkin kadmoi come out first. As in Pagnaya or Pagmaya, the damaged ones went, Vizachim Baraisa, they learned Torah and they merited great godless in Torah. As in Boimel Kodmai, so they wanted to go in first now, because they became Tamil Chachamim. Ishtalos Rabbi Shimon Lakish, so they asked Rish Lakish. Shalos Rabbi Shimon Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Shimon Lakish turned and asked Rabbi Yochanan. Or Rabbi Yochanan Vidarsha. So Rabbi Medrash, Rabbi Yochanan came with Darshan and Beis Medrash. Rabbi Benoya, the base manager, Rabbi Benoya, guess what? But they mentioned in Tveria, Afilu Mamzer, Tamil Chacham, Kodem, the Kohen Gadol, Am Oretz. Even a Mamzer, his Tamil Chacham, comes prior to Kohen Gadol, and Am Oretz. So, Savin Meimar, they thought initially that meant Lifdus, you get him clothing first. How you redeem him first if he gets forced to captivity? Lifdus, you get him clothing. Lachios, and you support him. But Holy Yeshiva, in terms of covet in the Yeshiva, who gets to come to the Nasi first? Lo! They thought that doesn't pertain there. That there the Mishpacha, the Yichus, goes in before the Mamzerim. Says the Gemara, Amar Rebbe, or here maybe it's Rabbi Yochanan supposed to be. Vayemet af liyeshiva, also go in earlier. In other words, they, now the people of the Pagmaya, should go in before the Bultaya. My time, what pasuk teaches us that? Yekara himi pninim, the Torah is more precious than pninim, than precious jewels. Afilu mizesh nilchas lifnai lifnim means even more kosher. And he who enters the lifnai lifnim, the Kodesh Kodashim, who's that? Who are more important than? Okay. Coin the coin god. Okay. Says Gemara.
Was this in the
Bible? What part?
About the Mamzer
Tamafafin. Yeah, but not about the covenant in the yeshiva. That's a new thing. That's not about. And it's in Horios. It's one of the small Mesechlis. Yeah, the Mesechlis. Says Gemara. Tani, we learned in our Mishnah, it says you're gone mi gadil, but the Mashbiach points out it's an obvious mistake. Should be done mi daniel. Said our Mishnah, done mi daniel. Mates, the Messimil Rabbi Yehuda. So ask Rabbi Yehuda, how can you say that done mi daniel is chayev? Follow Elub Shutiv Elukvuf, and the noon in daniel is what? Short. It's kufin. It's curved. And the nun in Daniel is, in Dan, is long. So therefore, how can you have the short one be mechayev you if it's abbreviated from the long one? It's not a it's not the same way you write the short one. God mi gadil taka woodwork. Because the gimel dal are the same no matter what way they're written. But the don mi Daniel, the Gemara asks, will not work, and the Gemara doesn't give an answer. Time b'shem Rabbi Yehuda. We learn the name Rabbi Yehuda. Kosav shtei osi oshavim. If a person writes two letters which are identical, Vein Shem Echad, Vein Shem, and they're their name, meaning that they have meaning, even though it's the same letter written twice. So then, Chayev, what's your Chayev? What's an example? Kagon Sheish, which means six, Teis, which means give, Gag, which means a roof, Drad means go down, and Chach, which is a type of jewelry. Rabbanan Amri, Rabbanan say, Shtei Otsios Mikol Mokom. No matter what the two letters spell, you're still chayav. Makes no difference. Ashkechis Omar, so from this you come out to say, a kal v'chomer, so each side has a kal and the chomer, not a kal v'chomer, where each side presents a leniency and a severity. How so? Here too, the gears are slightly mixed up. Actually, some regards Chamres al the Rabbi Yehuda. Oh, there's a word missing here. To be Vashkechas al the Rabbon. No, okay, I see. Lieberman changed like this. Okay. Ashkechas Omer Kaos Vachamres al the Rabbi Yehuda Kaos Vachamres. And Rabbi Yehuda didn't get a one thing Kaos and one Kaos Vachomer. And now he changes to. Kalas al-Durabona. There's still something missing. The bottom line is, we want to see the Kula according to each of them. And now the Gemara is going to give an example. Five lines at the bottom, the last words in the line. Kasev Shteyo Siyo Shabbat. If somebody writes two letters which are similar, Vein Shem in their name, Al-Daitin Rabbi Yehuda Chayim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that's Chayim. Al-Daitin Rabbona, according to Rabbona, you're Potter. Right? Right, so that's the case for who's Machmir? Rabbi Yehuda. Who's Meiko? Rabbanan. What about the exact opposite? Skipping down to the next line, according to the... According to Levi, you're supposed to write Kal Sad Rabbi Yehuda. How do you call it the Kula Koin Rabbi Yehuda? So then we have Osios Mikom Mokom. Afopi She'ein Shem. You have letters, no matter what they spell, even though they don't make a proper name or a proper significant entity, right? You're chayev. The coin rabbi who al daitin rabbanu chayev. A coin rabbanu you're chayev. Coin rabbanu you're chayev, right? According to Rabbi Yehuda Potter. So in this case, well, we have one case in which each side is machmir and this machlokas, each side is meko. Okay, now I'm going to ask a new question. This question is totally unrelated to the previous sugya. L'chava shitasi Rabbi Yehuda, v'stir and Rabbi Yehuda. What's a stira? The tani, we learned, yachol, archi yichlo v'es Hashem. Do you have to write the entire name? Achiori is called beggar. Do you have to weave the entire garment? Achiasa called number two, make the entire sieve. Tam lomer meachas. No, you only have to make meachas, part of it, but not all of it. Imeachas yocha afilo kosav osachas. Even you only write one letter. Afilo oro chuteachar. If you only knit one string. Afilo also bais echav enoka napa. Even you only made one small opening. Enoka kvar in the sieve and in the. I think the other fancy English word is colander.
Colander.
Okay. Do you know what the difference is?
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Colander is actually a heavy metal with holes in it, and a sieve is like wire.
Really? Wire. So that's between off and far, but I don't know which is which.
Because if you ask for a sieve, that's what gives you this wire mesh.
I knew. I never asked for a colander.
Colander.
Do you know what a colander was? So I might say that you have to do all the entire thing. Tamlor me achas. I me achas yod afilo kots avos achas. Even one letter is enough. I feel or I give me if you knit chuteachot one string is enough. I feel also b'yisachem enough for kvar. Even you made one house, one opening in the sieve and the colander, the chayev. Tamlor v'asa achas. You have to do one. Haketzad. You have to do one which is permanent, just like Hashem, so to speak, who's permanent. So you have to do something which is permanent. So here Rabbi Shimon says that you have to do something which is permanent, something significant. I should say significant is a better word. Yet on the other hand, you see. Now this is somebody who tamps down the weave once it's woven to make sure it's straight, which is certainly not a melacha miskemes because it's not going to last. So therefore, if that's the case, why chayev? Hashovei v'adaktik aragari zechayev. Ibnei shul miyashiv yado. I'll tell you why he's chayev. Why is he chayev in that case? For what? Not for the. Not for the melacha per se, but rather for what? What does Miyashi Vyoda mean?
Is it Misake?
Misake what?
That's what we had before, Miyashi Vyoda.
Right, Misake himself.
Himself,
because by doing this, you learn how to weave better. You learn how to sew better. So that's why you're chayiv in this case. He holds not by the Kohen Rabbi Yehuda, because we had steer Rabbi Yehuda. Because in one place Rabbi Yehuda said you have to do the entire thing. Another place Rabbi Yehuda said you only have to do part of it. Right. So how do you reconcile the two? We say he's doing part. The reason why he's chayiv is because he's doing what for what purpose?
To learn
how to
do
it. Right, to learn how to do this. Okay,
so in himself. Can you extend this to a student who's on Shabbos reading?
I've actually seen that done. I don't think it's a valid extension, but you could make that extension. You could make that extension.
Well, yeah, you're doing a physical act, but if you're reading something to improve that your technique, let's say a law case or a surgical case.
In Misaki Mana, right. I don't think you say it because I think it's what? What'd you say? I don't think it's a 100% comparable case because in the case of our Mishnah, we're talking about where he's going to do.
I just had something about my tip of my tongue. I forgot what it was. Well, in case you're training your body or hands to do something, you're not really training, you're just learning.
One is reading and training your mind, and the other one is training your hands.
Yeah, but you can.
So one is a physical activity, the other is reading and mental.
Sounds good. But I had something to my tongue, and I don't want to go on. Just a minute.
All right, take that. Anyway, my son is going over with Jerry Springer's daughter tonight.
Oh my God.
Well, she's legally blind, though. No, it's going to be interesting.
Those that hate us. Those that hate.
What?
Is she anything like her father?
I don't know. Find out. We built it.
It's a big schuss.
Big schuss. I don't think so. He's a...
I don't know. I don't know the answer. You're right. I forgot what I was going to say. All right. I can't remember. Hello, Chadal. HaKoysev Shteyosiyo. Somebody writes two letters. HaKoysev Shteyosiyo. Somebody writes two letters in one period of forgetfulness. Chayev. Kosav Bidyo. Person writes with ink. Bisam. With a certain kind of chemical. The secret, another kind of chemical. The kumus, kankatom, other types of chemicals. Chot avashroshim, anything which makes a mark. Al shneikos lebayis, a person writes on two walls of the house. Al shnei dapei pinkos, on two pages in a book. Ve'negin zem zem, somehow you can line them up together so they're going to be pronounced together with each other naturally. Chayiv, then you're chayiv. HaKosev al besorosom writes on his skin is chayev. HaMesayer al besorosom, he will scratch on his skin. It was mechayev. Chatos is considered to be a form of writing. Rishul poter, Rishul says you're exempt. Okay? Says Mark, HaKosev b'tiyo alei rokos. If you write with ink, but you write on vegetable leaves. Mashkin, if you write with beverages, when made peros, or with beverages, or with fruit juice, which is not miskayim, on a luach, even though luach, the board is miskayim, potter.
Sherlock Holmes, by the way, must have learned this Yerushalmi because he has made peros in one of his mysteries.
He does.
As hidden writing.
Who's this?
Sherlock Holmes.
Oh.
Yeah, well, no,
that's the
problem about invisible ink.
That's
right. Right. So,
if you don't see it, and then you have to light up a candle, or
right.
You see it, then it disappears.
Right, so the bottom line is, achi yichtov, you have to write, Dovashokayama, something which is permanent, al Dovashokayama, something which is permanent, okay? So it has to be both aspects, have to be Shokayama. Rabbi Yaakov Rachel, Rabbi Yisrael B'Shem, Rabbi Lozen said, Kosov os echad b'Tveria. If you write one letter in Tveria, Vosal Tzipori, another letter in Tzipori, Chayiv. Then you're Chayiv. That's where I'm going to be. But then we learn, he made a Negim Zem Zem, they can't be read together. Then Potter says, Yushami Ari Rabbi Barbar Memel. Rabbi Barbar Memel said, we're talking about Bisrola. Now the Rishonim actually, the Rashba changed that to Seed Ra, or Seed Dak. That means that it's a peelable plaster. The letter won't get ruined if you move it from one wall and put it on another wall. So therefore, it's not mechusar. It's just mechusar kriva. It hasn't yet been done, but it could hypothetically be done. Since hypothetically it could be done, so therefore you don't have any problem of not being read together. Again, even if it's written on two separate pages in a book, right? If you can press the pages together, it's good enough. So too, if you wrote one letter in Tzipori, another letter in Tveria, if somehow the letters can be put together and read together, so that's sufficient.
You know, Lieberman would say that these two cities weren't just Galatasaray written, Tzipori and Tveria. Because part of the Yerushalmi was, bulk of the Yerushalmi was written in Tveria, part of it was written in Tzipori.
So what would Lieberman say?
That's what Lieberman says in his introduction. That part of the Yerushalmi, the bulk of the Yerushalmi that has the difficult Aramaic, was written in Tveria.
Yeah.
The Yerushalmi that has more Hebrews mixed in was written in Tzipori.
That's interesting.
So that's why these two cities were so that's used as an example. That's what I'm saying, right. That's
very interesting because Mashbiach actually says that I wasn't going to mention this, but he says that these two cities are just taken as an example. It says the truth is that the cities are right next to each other. Even the train Tzipori are not right next to each other, they're 40 miles apart. But that's what Mashbiach is saying. They just took two cities out of a hat. Which is very similar to what you're saying, not quite the same, but very similar.
I'm saying there's a purpose.
No, but you're saying the purpose has nothing to do with their distance from each other.
Right, nothing to do with their distance.
And that's similar to the Mashbiach, and they say purpose has nothing to do with their distance. On the contrary, they weren't distant from each other. Historically, these two were, but in this case, that's not the emphasis because the cities are next to each other. And the Yitzchak's gear says besidra, meaning that they're in order, one next to each other. Okay. Says you shall me for further. Aidim.
No, I don't think so.
Oh, we have to Aidim's little Zion at the beginning of the line.
No.
Not true?
Oh, swear for swear.
Right.
You see that, Mishnah?
Yeah, I see.
Okay, Aidim Shainyoim Lachtom. Witnesses who don't know how to sign the document. Shimon Lokasham, I wrote in the name with Yo. You write in front of them with ink. Vein Chosim Sikra, and they put a different kind of ink on top of that. They trace a different kind of ink on top. Or vice versa, but Sikra, you write it in, the Sikra thing is red ink. Vein Chosim Dio, and they sign in black ink. Omer Rabbi Yochim said, Oskim Bilcho Shabbos, since in Ilcho Shabbos, just because we're Machmi Ilcho Shabbos, literally we dabble in Shabbos, and we say that you, putting one bulb on top of ink on top of each other is chayev, right? So you want to say it's putting one ink on top of each other is chayev. So therefore, it must be that ink on top of ink is a significant act. If it's a significant act, then the Aidim should be allowed to sign their signatures above the lower signatures, and that should be considered significant enough that they signed the document, right? So it says, just because they said by Shabbos, it doesn't, where we're machmir, we say, don't do that, doesn't mean that we can be make by getting and say that that's sufficient, or by any document and say that that's sufficient. So again, the limits of what you can do with the nation, right? So how can you pass the matter based on the svara? Ella, rather, maybe near cholak. What you do is you can't put ink on top of ink because maybe that's not considered to be bona fide writing. What you do is you bring stencil paper. You bring a blank paper, right? And you rip open the shape of the letters in the paper, right? And they sign by filling in the stencils. So Rabbi Reish Lakish didn't like Reish Lakish didn't like this, right? He said, if that's the case, if you're just following the rips which the first guy made in the paper, so it's really his signature and not your signature, right? So it says the Gemara, who machliv name is Saketa, the guy who signs is Sakera. The guy who signs is to expand the rip a little bit to make it his own rip. You know, so that he now is, you know, this, I'm not sure I'm getting this across. In other words, to make the stencil, he has to tamper with the stencil a little bit so it becomes his signature, not just the signature of somebody else, so to speak, dictated to him. Okay? Rabbi Mona Boy. I want to ask, "Lama leinon omrim roshin livnei b'mayim?" Why don't leinon here means ein onu, or lanu ein, right? Means why don't we give another answer? Why don't we say that if we have einim or amaratim, we mark the paper for them in water, which certainly is going to erase again. And the einim sign on top of that, involved with the iru rabato, and if the people can't come and complain, their cancellation doesn't mean anything. Their complaint doesn't mean anything.
It's hard to hear yourself talk about in the background and concentrate.
I made a mistake. No, it's not. I made a mistake. Sorry, the mistake I made is the same motion. I have it underlined. I forgot. This is the answer. And the answer is a korea, meaning if you first make a mark with water on the paper, so the Baal or the whoever else the Baal Din will come and complain and say, no, they weren't really signing. They were just it's not really their signature because I saw the water marks are there before. Or other, the Korban Eidah says the problem was that if you sign on top of water, so it makes the ink look less
intense.
Right, so since the ink less looks intense, so therefore people are going to come and question the stability of the star. So it says, Ibav Iro, Iro Batel, doesn't mean that we cancel his complaint, but rather this complaint is a potential to cancel the get, whatever you're dealing with. So therefore, we don't allow you to sign with water under the ink. You have to just sign with the ink directly. And the way to do that is by ripping, you know, rips in the paper and having the Adam sign on top of that. Okay?
That original, do you remember from the Babli, the original Machlokas, where the Yochanan Reish Lakish here about the signing, the, like filling in the Rosh of the Dio on top of Sikra, Sikra on top of Dio? There was that Machlokas in the Babli, wasn't there?
It's in two places, getting in a Shabbos, I don't remember it at all.
Well, I remember it in Shabbos. You had like boxes of letters that were blank, just the outlines of it, and they filled it in.
That's a different issue.
That's something else.
That's something else, yeah. But I don't remember how it squares together. Okay, hakarela, or if you rip on skin, ketamnis ksav, something which looks like now most unfortunate learning here, like the Bavli, that this is talking about a case where you rip your own skin. Rip your skin in the shape of letters, you're chayiv, right? Haroshim alor, if you write on your skin, ketav ksav, something which looks like writing, then you're potter, then you're exempt, because it's not considered to be true, it's not permanent, right? Omer Abelezer, Abelezer, but lo ben sato, what about ben sato? Lo maybe kshavi mitzrayim bekach, didn't he do sneak through customs and bring magical formulae out of Egypt by writing them onto his skin? So we see it's a form of writing. So they said, just because he was an idiot rolling the skin, for him we're going to be mechayev chat for several smart people, therefore we don't extrapolate from him. And the bottom line is that anybody else who writes on their skin is potter. It's only this Ben Sato who's the Yitzim Yaqam. Alright, we'll stop here for today.
Ben Sato didn't take a bath.
Yeah.